So we'll start the cell meeting from the February this year. So this is the time to preparation for the mission of the God-given mission for year 2019. I wish our church is a good enough church by the word of God. We can find out all these cases in the Bible. The same as today is happening, things are happening around us today. So I wish this time is for us to get the wisdom, good enough wisdom, only from the Bible. So we should continuously learn the Bible, which can change our paradigm to the biblical the value. So this is eighth sermon of Exodus from chapter 15 to 18. The learning to live in a personal relationship with God. So last week we looked at the praise and joy of the people who crossed the Red Sea in chapter 15. So today we'll continue the story of the journey after they crossing over the Red Sea. So the whole journey to Mount Sinai is from the Ramses in Goshen area. So left and right, there's a desert, and in front of them was a Red Sea, and behind them the Egyptian army was chasing. What was happened? They crossed the Red Sea. God divided the sea. And they cross over. There's a many view of the journey of the Israelites, as well as the traditional the view. So there are a number of the presumption in the journey as we did last week. The road to the Sinai, which is traditionally said to be on the Sinai Peninsula. The other one is to cross the Sinai Peninsula from the east to the west and across the Nuweiba Bay, the midpoint of the Aqaba Bay, to the median region of the Arabia. So I will look at the two possibilities and look at the map with both of them. So we have a look at the history up to the crossing the Red Sea. Continuing in verse 22, the Israelites who have experienced the amazing grace of the Red Sea, leave and go into the wilderness. And for 3 days, then ran out of the water. So we can imagine, so without guarantee of the water and the food, we cannot start the journey. Because of the day experienced the crossing over the Red Sea, by amazing God's miracle, so they could start the journey without any guarantee of the food and the water. So by that faith, they get into the wilderness, but they couldn't find the water. But finally, they managed to find the water, but the water was not able to be consumed, so that they called the place Marah. So water is the most fundamental and important aspect of the human survival, and the fact that there are 3 million people without water is a serious problem. People have already made this kind of prediction when they left Egypt. Even if people believe that God would be responsible, when they have come to the problem without water, and the crisis, and the people started complaining to the Moses. We are the man created with the free will. So not every step by step is predetermined by the God. For from the Bible we can see the place called Marah is not led by the God by force. Many people walk the path of faith with misunderstanding. Still, some people come to the church with their wishes and ambition. The church is not the place to lead to the way of the prosperity, but to the way of faith. The way God leads you cannot go without faith that trusts God. The way of faith that the Bible tells us we can never walk when we see the phenomenon that is happening in our own way without a true faith toward God. So with this kind of expectation, people get into the wilderness after they see the miracle of the Red Sea. But when they face the problem, they say, they think that, God is probably not exist, and they doubt about it. God never promised the people the freeway with an air-conditioned bus drinking icy coke in the wilderness. So in our faith journey, it's not important whether it's the dry land, wetland, and it's with the water, without the water. The more important thing is that where this road leads up to. What is the final destination of the road? That is the more important thing. Many people come to the church with their own expectation, and they just disappointed, and then sometimes they leave the church. So God doesn't send a cloud for us to ride to the heaven. It's only been 3 days since they experienced the amazing miracle of the Red Sea. But people start complaining because the circumstances become hard and difficult. Of course, people can complain when the situation is difficult. People can grumble. In our faith journey, we can complain about the difficulties. But what is the root of this kind of complaining? The reason why these people complain seem to be their expectation is different from what is happening. Because their thing is filled with their own thought by observing this phenomenon and miracle. So they couldn't go and go up to the stage of relationship with God. In personal relationship. So the worldly idolatry is not much different from the people wish the God to accomplish their own goal in their own way. Because the people still think God is the one to fulfill their own goal and own wants and needs. So if you have any complaining, that probably means things not going to the favor of your expectation. So for the baby Christian, when they come to the church and they start believing God, they all come into the church with their own expectation, own imagination. God will be like this. God would be like this. But later on, they should learn through the Bible who the God is. So live as a Christian, maybe it's a little bit uncomfortable. Because we're not taking the worldly way, the method what this world would take. That's why the Christian life is a little bit uncomfortable. So if you look at your life and it's too comfortable, maybe you need to repent. Maybe you're not in the way of the faith. So now the spiritual maturity of the people understand God as who they can fulfill their wants and needs, rather than is God who they have to trust and believe in and develop the personal relationship with. So that is why God teach them the personal trust in God, the relationship of faith, and eventually begins to educate them to mature into a love relationship as a God, as a father and a child. But God does not just make a person and train a person to obey without any thinking, like training a dog. But train the people with a personal belief and a true personal relationship. So you cannot make any promise with the animal like a dog. You cannot ask them to keep the rules. But we are human, is different from this animal. So this kind of obedience, to what Bible said, is the only the fruit of the trust. So if you look at the case of the Mara, the lesson we can learn is the way God teaches people to trust in Him is through the provision of promises and the living life accordingly. So God solved the water problem at Mara. From the time He educated the rules to be followed. So I personally do not know exactly what law and statutes God mentioned in Mara. But we can guess it would be similar to the Passover or Unleavened Day. So it will eventually be revealed through the promise of Sinai, Leviticus, and we'll be able to see it in detail. So if we just do not look at these rules of God and just focusing on the love of God, you probably get confused about what is a true love is. So homosexuality, and except today, so many churches accept homosexuality by the name of the love of God, because they don't understand and comply the rule of the God, because they only focus on the love of God, which is end up the misinterpretation of the true love of God. So everything in person's life, everything that can be achieved in society is done by promise. When a person is born, he becomes a social person as he or she is trained to live in promise. In the relationship with the parents, as a child grows up, through the process of learning and keeping promises in one family, develop a relationship between parents and children. Parents try to make their children a personal being in a family and a school and in a society to become a trusted person who learns and keeps the promise to live with others. So likewise, God has set the law and the ordinance for the people to keep them together so that they can learn personal relationship and trusted relationship. This is quite different from the setting a rule and then completing or punishing. If you disregard, break the rule in a small, in a manner or in a daily life, the small things, in making a crack of the big dam. It make a leak in a relationship, eventually break the relationship. This is the same manner and reason God gives us the law and the ordinance. So there are lots of misunderstanding of Mount Sinai, the covenant we given to the people. People think this is a legalism, this is a law and rules. But this is a guidance how to live kingdom citizen. So in order to build a loving relationship with God, it is a first step to keep the regulation, rules and the promises. It's like all our parents start our loving relationship with our children by teaching them keep the rules and promises. Because he loves the people, that's why he gives the rules and regulations and promises. If we look at the Genesis, the story of Abraham, later on, a godfather called Abraham as a friend. Also, the reason for giving the law and statutes is because there are promises that can be kept together, those who are in the one community. It is possible to live a happy life in order without quarreling. There are many differences between advanced and underdeveloped countries. You're probably told that there are in a leading nationality that keeps law and order voluntarily. The more people in the underdeveloped countries, the more ignorant of the promise and rules without keeping the law. That is why God gives the Israelites who are out of the slavery a regulation to change the consciousness of the slave to the consciousness of the master and start training themselves and each other to keep the promise together. He's not transferring the slavery of the Egypt to the slavery of Canaan. So this is a total transformation of their paradigm of the slave to the master. There are many Christians still live in a church. In a faithful journey, they have slavery mindset. But God is praised the voluntary mind. So as children gradually grow up, they grow up to be an independent personality that is not dependent on their parents. So they sometimes resist when the parents are trying to control over for a long time. And they resist it as a bondage rather than love. It is because God created man into such an independent personality. That is like adolescence. Every one of us has experienced the period of the adolescence, the puberty blues. But through that time, we getting to become an independent adult. So when we love God, God wants us to love Him not by force or fear, but voluntarily in a personal relationship. When we love others, the true love is the other side. We always concern the other side of the party, how they think, how they accept the expression of my love, rather than just my own way or my own will. Expression of my own will and love is not counted as a true love. It's the same, it's applied to the same in our relationship between man and God. So if we love God in our own way, that's idolatry. If we really or truly love God, we have to love Him the way He wants to be loved. Because God gave us a free will, He wants to know what is the center of a heart. If we look at the chapter 15, 20, verse 25, chapter 16, verse 4, the word test is used. What is a test? Test is the after educating and training and teaching somebody about something, then see if it is well educated or not. The Bible always tells faith comes first. If you look at your faith journey, if you're doing things in the church by the force, probably you have a lack of understanding of God and who He is. Our God is a mighty God, and He doesn't make any mistake. But even though God Almighty, He doesn't use His almighty power to make us to keep the promise. But by God personally, He approaches us and teaches us to keep the promise with our own will. Do you remember when Abraham obey to the God's demand, how much he praised. So from the crossing of the Red Sea, the process of the salvation until the time of the Canaan, the land of the promise, God has prescribed and told people what the trust relationship is and what faithful relationship is. When we were sent as a light in these nations, we should be prepared true trustworthy in God so that we could be a witness in the world regardless of the circumstances. The important thing to be trusted by God is listening. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the disease I brought on the Egyptian. For I am the Lord who heals you. It's written in chapter 15, verse 26. So the first thing is to listen, and the second thing is to obey. But if you listen without attention, then just to keep a few things, that is not right. Listen carefully, then keep all the commandments is the right thing. We easily forget. We are all forgetful. That's why God asked the people to record it. Look at your life. When you listen to the word of God, take the word rather than just the rule, but the love to build the trustworthy relationship with God. Although many people listen and act, it is a matter of hearing, not doing precisely. Listening to what you want to hear and doing what you want to do is the biggest problem today. People often think they have no problem in their faith life because they are listening and obeying. So like a January preparation time, the equip time, we easily forget to put this the priority of the Word of God. We are always busy. Every one of us are busy. But if we find that important thing just right in front of the hell, it's too late. I want to challenge all of you to give the 1/10 of your time, tithe of your time, not only the money, but the time of tithe. If you try this time tithe, you won't get not much challenge from the worldly value, because you are possessed with the value of the God. So Mara, where the bitter water is, where God lives. But it is uncomfortable and life-threatening, God begins to lessen the relationship of personal trust. The subject of this Mara event is not switching bitter water to the sweet water. The healthier interpretation is God bringing us to the personal relationship with God through the difficult situation. If we interpret this event as God switching the bitter water into the sweet water when we pray hard, which is not the subject, it's irrelevant. It's a wrong interpretation. That can mislead the people to pursue their greatness by praying hard to the God. Faithful journey is difficult and uncomfortable, but we shouldn't be led by force like a slavery. There is joy and there is a pleasure living according to the Word of God. Even within the church and among the Christianity, this kind of heavenly value is easily disregarded today's Christian life. Whoever capability man is the most favored grooms and candidates for the husband. After the people left Elim and crossed the desert of the Shur, located between the Sinai, the prime destination about a month after the Exodus. So 3 million people, they ran out of the food about a month after their Exodus. They start complaining. people all facing death when they run out of the food and water. So from the event of the Mara, from the event of the desert shore, we should be able to find a lesson. And the insight, we have to trust God in any circumstances, regardless of any difficulties. What is the reason God gave us a family? What is the reason God made us His kingdom citizen? We all Christians easily forget the reason of ourself in this world today because of the food and the things to drink. So the true relationship, the trustworthy relationship is in any circumstances, you never give up the trust in God. Today, many family problems, especially when they divorce, they reasoning from personal greed. And they say, characteristic difference. But behind that, because they cannot fulfill, the partner doesn't fulfill their personal greed anymore. It's not no longer the trustworthy relationship. When between a couple, they are after argument, they say, you did that. You said that. But this is just the fruit they have. They lost the trust in between. Think about when you're dating out the man and woman. Even though they are late to the appointment, and then they had actually done wrong, something wrong, and rather than you ask their apology, you apology first, haven't you? I think this is the problem of the trust and the faith. Whenever people facing the difficult, they doubt about who the God is. The events the husband doing and wife does cannot be the standard for the loving. So event God shows to the Israelite, it's not the event itself, it's the purpose. So those who complain, they are hungry, they have something to eat down from the heaven, and when they see it, they call it, what's this? Then manna in Hebrew is what is this? So the food God has given them was called manna. Through this, God continued to teach people how to trust and encounter God in person without thinking of God as a method to achieve what they want. The way to collect manna was to take only a day's worth of food to eat in the early morning and to take as much as 2 days in the sixth day. So do not forget that God is here to test people through these regulations, just as in Mara. But to be a personal trusting relationship, not a rush to see what is going on. So God also gives the food every day and rest after a day. But the sixth day, He promises not to decay until the end of the wilderness trial, which is 40 years. So that people know God they can trust. This God's sincerity, Israelite could learn, God always keep His promise. So we can put the trust in Him. But there are some people who are not complying well. So when they listen the word of God, rather than listen carefully, they just carelessly they listen without attention. So those listening attitude ends up with disobedience because they do not know how to do something, how to comply. So the rest of the food had worms and smell rotten. In chapter verse 20. So if you listen to each other in the community and do what you promise, the community will certainly grow. But however, there are some people who act like a group of disobeyed people who have gathered more than they were supposed to and made the smell rotten in the community. So you reflect this on your own faith life, including cell meeting that will start in 2019, about keeping the promises in the church. I hope that it will be a time to learn the whole trust and faith by listening carefully and behaving correctly as promised to each other. I wish every one of you work hard and get promoted in your working place. But do not forget the value of the God. Small little thing like today, what happened is there was a cell in charge of the greeting the newcomer, but no one turned up today. This little thing seems to be nothing, but it's not nothing. It's a very important thing. The faith is trusting in God and so doing according to His word. So please do not misunderstand the faith, but let's learn the truth that speak to us in the historical event of the Bible. True love to God is neither what I am feeling nor what I am doing with my passion, but we respect each other, we value our dearest regards, we keep our promise together, we accept each other, we want to be interesting, want to be together. We can often make a mistake and fail in this life of faith, but you should not give up to rise again and do just as God has said. So God causes each of these failures to continue to lead to a relationship of faith, to record all these events, to commemorate them periodically, to remember the sincerity of God, and to live a fully mature life without repeated failure. So it is why we do not need to have manna and quail ever again. Even if there is no manna, we can live faithful life because we're trusting in God. In our faithful journey, you probably may not see much of the events and miracles. But from this Bible and praise that we learned today, we can find who is the God, who the God is, and His faithfulness. After this, this in the wilderness of the Shur, they reached to the Levidim. Here again, the water is a problem, but the people even threatened rather than complaining and grumble against the Moses. In Mara, it was to sweeten the bitter water, but in Levidim, there was not even rotten water. So the people again grumble and complain Moses and threaten to give them water. Moses is also disputing with the people saying, "Why are you tempting God?" God keeps on telling people how to trust in God through various journeys in life. However, when people face difficult circumstances, continue to complain and asking God what they need to prove His love. So this is exactly what we look like. We easily forget that it is grace of God and love of God that we are given a new day every day. We are demanding God, give me a good house, give me a good car, different meat, different bread, give me a better one. So if my satisfaction is not fulfilled, we threaten to intimidate God to swear and to starve to death. In the journey of the life, when we are poor, we should thank God for not letting us fall into greed. We must trust God. And when we get better, we should be careful not to fall into the pride and live a life of the trust in God. Now the situation at Levidim was enough to threaten Moses, feeling these people may kill me now. As conditions and circumstances become more difficult, do not learn complaints and grudge, but learn to trust God more truly. God wants us to learn trust in worst situation and want to grow into the relationship of the love. I'm grateful that God hears this ungrateful word of people, but God will cause the water to burst from the rocks and stones where they are and feed and clothe the people again. The name of the place is called Massa, Meribah, in the sense of I contended, I tried God. Massa, Meribah, and Levidim are all the same places. From verse 8, there is a story about the war in the Amalekites at the Rabidim. Moses went up to the top of the mountain and saw the whole situation. Joshua went to battle and fought Amalek. When Moses hands up, the Israel is winning, and the hands fall, the Israel is defeated. And Aaron and Hur support Moses' hand and walk together until the war is over. God knows that these people do not even believe in themselves now, and that they cannot dream of fighting and winning. What can they do to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land, to become a master and make the name of the God known to the nations? Even if they can fight with the combat power in any cases, God does not raise them as fighters. The way to overcome this war is to win through the most important personal trust in God. All the miracle God gives us experience shows the full responsibility of God for His people in the impossible situation that man cannot afford. It shows clearly what God is fighting on our behalf, who we should put the trust and live for. And here He commands this history to be recorded in the book for the first time. Chapter 17, verse 14. So in this book, God commemorated Joshua and all the descendants who follow him, what kind of God is he, and what relationship they have with God, and what mission they have. The important thing is not what we have. The important thing is our heart. So God does not look at our capability. He look at our heart. So God is the one fight against Amalekite. God is a Jehovah Nissi for us. It is God who has given the flag of victory to us. God has always been from the beginning and will always be for eternity. The problem is that we trust God. It is a life of faith in which there is a loving relationship. God wants to live a life of trust without testing God. God promised us that He would fight with Amalek in all generations, and that He is still fighting for us, protecting us, so that we cannot give up easily in any circumstances and situations. With your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. It's written in 2 Samuel. He created a man in person. And in love, that's why He loves us in person and want to build a relationship in person. It's probably a little difficult to live in a faithful life, but it is the worth to follow. It's a life to follow. This is the life, or the path of the life. This is so precious way. I want you to realize and confess through your mouth how valuable the way we given from the God. Sometimes in a faithful journey, we also have these difficulties and complaining can come out of our mouth. But I want you to want you not to give up. We are separate from this world, and especially chosen as a high priest of this world. Do not forget who you are, and remember, no matter you face the water of Mara, the place like a Rubidim, No matter what situation and circumstances and difficulties you face, through the difficulties, I want you to meet God and develop the relationship with God and find the true loving God. So we're not going to believe in you like an idol. We believe in you because you are trustworthy.